Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 38, Four Questions to Discover Your Advisor Story. Now, a long time ago on episode 12, Kirk and I went over the 9 outcomes of a great advisor brand. So I want you to go back and listen to that after you get done with this one, because it's a very good complement to what we're going to talk about today. But Kirk, these are four questions that you have figured out over the many, many years that you have been a branding and marketing expert. What are the four questions?
Thanks, Matt. You know, once you understand what a game changer having a great brand can be in your practice, you'll want to figure out how you can get there. And so that's what we do for a living at Top Advisor Marketing. It's one of the big things that we do and one of the things that I'm most involved with. And it's a lot of fun going through that process, but some advisors just want to figure this out on their own. They don't want to pay somebody else to do it for them. And what we're going to do for you today is give you some insight and how to start making that happen. Not only are we going to give you some insight, I'm going to direct you to a free marketplace on our topadvisormarketing.com website called Advisor U. And in that marketplace, marketplace is the wrong word because there's nothing for sale in there. It's all free. Best kind of marketplace.
That's right. I love those kind of marketplaces.
Yeah. All kinds of wisdom on different areas that you are important to your business. So I want you to understand that we're going to give you some real resources to go figure that out. So the areas that are in Advisor U, by the way, are strategy, branding, podcasting, social marketing, practice management, websites. So those are the 6 areas that you can get tons of wisdom, exercise, and resource on. So we're going to start talking about what you'll see there and how important they can be in helping you uncover or discover your advisor story. So the first question, there's more questions that we would normally ask, but I want to keep it simple. And I want to start with some really, really important ones. What are you great at? So question number 1, what are you great at that other advisors aren't, can't do, won't do, or don't care to do? So really, what do you do better that they don't, won't, can't, or don't care about?
So Kirk, I think one of the problems that I have found in working with advisors is they don't see what is totally unique and different, right? They don't see how to tease that out. You know, I hear, we'll hear the same things, and we beat up on advisors every once in a while on this podcast, and this is not intended to do so. But, you know, they say, well, Matt, I really don't do anything fundamentally different than anybody else, or it's my service. They really do need to tease this out more, don't they? I mean, it can't just be, I provide great service.
Absolutely. So I have something, one of the tools that I want you to go in and see is called a brand matrix.
Okay.
And inside that brand matrix, it kind of details how you can figure out what the answers. So I call it a test. So a validity test. So there's a whole bunch of things in the bottom, and I'll get into those once we get through the 4 questions.
Okay.
So what you want to do is how you answer this question, you want to go through the validity test and make sure it makes sense. So let me jump into the next question here. So the second question, so that first one to give us a little bit more perspective, I guess, is that you want to make sure that you have the right kind of answers.
Well, can give us an example then. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Think back to one of your clients that really does have a very, very well-defined brand and they're a good advisor story. Share one of those with us if you don't mind.
So when an advisor asks themselves, what do people say about you? How do they introduce you? Or what makes you different? Or what makes you better? Most advisors answer one of 4 or 5 things. And we've talked about this before on other podcasts, but we'll go through it because it's highly relevant to what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. They trust me. Mm-hmm. You know, I have their interests, their best interests at heart. So now that means, are you a fiduciary? It used to not mean that at all. It used to be an unproven claim. The next one would be, I offer comprehensive or holistic advice. Another one is, I have a lot of integrity. I'm really likable. I'm easy to work with. I simplify financial planning. So there's 6. Mm-hmm. And if you are answering those for yourself with how you start answering this question or any of these questions, that's where you start getting off the track, because that is swimming in the sea of sameness.
Mm-hmm.
Because every advisor tells me those 5 or 6 things every single time I ask a question. And then that's where I start to beat them up. So, and I start to say, look, there's more to you than that. And you got to figure out what it is. So when you answer those questions, dig deeper. go sideways, go deeper, whatever you have to do, find other stuff. So that's this, the intent of this question is, what are you great at that other advisors aren't, can't do, won't do, or don't care to do?
Gotcha. Good. All right. What's the question?
You gotta dig deep to figure that out. Yeah.
Well, the brand discovery matrix that you were referring to in Advisor U helps them hit that next level question, though, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right. What's question number two?
So question number two is, what do you enjoy doing most in your practice? So a lot of advisors these days, and this is a huge movement, especially with millennials. Millennials, as you hear when they're talking about careers, are less about money and more about purpose or passion or fulfillment.
Absolutely.
And I see that trickling up in a big way to older generations. And I think it's amazing. There's going to be some risks, economically speaking, because if there's certain jobs that people just don't like doing, you're going to have to start paying people more, or we're going to, you know, there's going to be some challenges there potentially in the future. But anyway, it's really interesting. So it's really good idea to be clear about what you enjoy doing the most, or what you have the most passion and fun doing. Jim Collins wrote a book called Good to Great many years ago, and he had something called the Hedgehog Concept. And the Hedgehog Concept talked about three things: passion, purpose, and payoff.
I think that's right.
And they were, you know, where those all intersected is what you should be focused on in your business. So those are some really good ideas. Anyway, that's a great book, especially that Hedgehog Concept. You can go back and read through that. There's probably tons of articles.
I want to touch on this a little bit more, because when you're talking about what you do that you enjoy in your practice, your clients and prospects and centers of influence will absolutely feel that level of passion. You know, if you're talking about financial planning and you hate doing financial plans, they're going to feel that, because you're not going to be as genuine. You're not going to be as organically happy as you are when you're doing something you're passionate about and absolutely love. So make sure that you are communicating that. Really take a hard look at your business. I was just in Syracuse, New York, a couple of weeks ago meeting with a client. And when we were talking about what he was passionate about, because I was taking him through very similar stuff that we do at Top Advisor Marketing, since I'm still dipping my toes in the water of some of this and learning from you, Kirk, it was a wonderful question, because I asked him the second and third level questions. And it ended up popping out what he really loved. And it was just the stories that people told. And he was so genuine when he said that. When we started revamping their value proposition and some of their marketing pieces, it all had to do with stories, because he is a great storyteller and he loves hearing great stories. Unfortunately, it makes his meetings rather long, but he absolutely loves doing that. And by learning how to ask those next level questions, which we have in Advisor U, we have on this brand discovery matrix, we have in some other stuff that Kirk's going to talk about today, it really uncovers stuff. And when you go into work and you start telling your story, it's just more exciting.
Yeah, I got to tell you, one of the biggest epiphanies that I have with advisors when we're working through their brand and what they do is the most successful, organized, and experienced, most wisdom, full of wisdom type of advisors, their challenge usually isn't what is my brand. It's what isn't it sometimes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What ends up happening is, I just went through this with a company in Minneapolis, and they've got a ton of stories. I went through with a money manager in New Jersey a long time, you know, many years ago too, where they just had so many stories. It was like, gosh, like, stop telling so many stories. Get it down to five. Pick five of those 20. And really evolve those five, and you will be way more successful. Guess what? They grew four times in 2.5 years. I mean, there was other factors in there. I'm not going to take all that credit, but it was a really big, important part of them creating momentum in their business and letting go of always being there for the marketing. And you can do the same thing with your practice. I mean, this guy in Minneapolis, he's had now his existing website, which is getting changed. He had probably four concepts. I mean, they kind of build off. You can see their connectivity, but it's too much for somebody to process. You know, it's usually about dialing back. It's about finding some stuff that's really good. And then oftentimes the really good advisors, so they've just been doing this for so long and they've got so much thought leadership and so many concepts and ideas, it's drilling back to the ones that really matter and telling the story from that perspective, and then having a couple stories that support it once you get in meetings with people, or if you want to create other papers and stuff like that. Anyway, so that's really important. So I'm going to give you the validity test right now.
Okay.
Even though we're, you know what, let me go back to that, because I don't want to confuse people. So we just finished question two, which was, what do you enjoy doing the most in your practice? So what are you passionate about? That kind of stuff. So the third question is, what does your ideal audience care most about, specifically with what you do? So if you go back to question one, what are you great at? And then question two is, what do you enjoy doing?
Right.
Now you're on question three, what does your audience care about? If your audience doesn't give a hoot about one and two, you got some.
Yeah, there's a problem there. Yeah, absolutely.
So you got to figure that. So this is part of the validity test, this question, which is relevancy. That's one of the validity points. And I'm going to give you all those in a second. There's actually nine of them.
Okay.
So you need to understand that. So what does your audience, what does your ideal audience care most about? So at this point, you better have figured out your ideal audience. I told you these are just some of the more poignant questions, but you should have, in your branding process, you're absolutely going to want to have written down all your psychographics and demographics for your ideal audience.
Sure.
So create your buyer persona, if you will. That's the clicky word on the internet with content marketing is buyer personas.
Mm-hmm.
I like ideal client better, but anyway.
Okay.
So that's question three. So question four is there one thing you could do better that your client would love about working with you? So if you can think about one thing that your client cares most about, not just is it relevant to them, but what is the thing that they absolutely love? And I've talked about this all the time. When you are really dialed into a brand your strength, what your audience cares about, you can create a lot of that focus allows you to create more value than anybody else in your industry can because they're focused on too many things.
Sure.
So you gain you're essentially gaining a competitive advantage when you create a more narrow focus with a really dialed in brand. That sounds crazy, but that is a huge part of how important having an advisor brand is in your practice, in your marketing, all those things.
You know, stepping back from yourself is very important too. And I learned this from a coaching perspective, and it's one of the unique things that I bring to Top Advisor Marketing now. And Kirk, I know that you're really good at this too. Sometimes it's just saying, hey, it's not about you. You have to stop thinking about what you really want in this question, right? And you have to think about what your clients would want. There are times that my advisors would say, well, Matt, I know they want education. And then when we actually go to the clients and say, well, what do you want? The last thing that they say, if at all, is education. And so this is a really hard look in the mirror, everybody. And one of the nice things about what Kirk is offering here and what we're offering with this advisor, you and some of the other pieces that we're going to talk about, including all of the free download stuff that you can get in advisor, you is do it in your office with your door closed. So if you start crying, nobody will see you.
I've had some people could be pretty down on themselves going through the process. And to be quite honest, that really is a good sign.
It is.
You're actually digging deep and you're actually going to get this thing right.
That's right.
Because if you go through this process and it's really, really easy, sometimes that's a sign that maybe you're not going deep enough or you're not really making this as compelling as it needs to be. Because it should be a game changer. I don't know if it's life changing, but it should be a game changer for your practice.
Absolutely.
This is better. You should be really ramped up about it. Should be feel very focused. Should take a weight off your shoulders. Should give you a tremendous amount of confidence because what you chose to be your area of expertise in your audience, you feel so good about that nobody's going to be able to steal your focus or your confidence.
And people
That's
love
you know you've got a great brand, right?
Yeah, and people love that passion. People love that fire. In fact, people look for it in other people. You know, there's an old saying, in an absence of leadership, somebody will rise. And it's the same thing with your clients. So we talked about the four questions. I'm going to go over those again really quickly. But the cool thing about this podcast is we have action steps. So after you listen to all of this that we're going over right now, Kirk and I are going to walk you through some great things that you can do for free and some things if you want to invest a little bit of money. There's some opportunity there. But let's go over the quick questions. So the first question out of the four questions to discover your advisor story was, what are you great at that other advisors aren't, can't do, won't do, or don't care to do, and what makes you better? Number two, what do you enjoy doing most in your practice? Number three, what does your ideal client or audience care most about what you do? And number four, if there is one thing you could do better, what would that be to increase your engagement with your clients? So Kirk, let's talk about the next step. So they've gone through these questions, or maybe they're even struggling a little bit with these questions. What can they do?
So if you go to topadvisormarketing.com, in the top right button, it says Advisor U. So you're going to create your own, you're going to register for that. Once you get inside of Advisor U, there's going to be six categories, and you're going to go to the branding category. When you go to the branding category, you're going to click on. So you're going to scroll down, and you're going to find a document called the Brand Discovery Matrix. So I want you to, when you get a chance to open that, you don't need to do it right now. You may be driving and listening to the podcast. Don't get in trouble, or you may be somewhere where you just can't access it. So I'm going to walk you through, so you don't actually need that. But when you're ready to start looking and working through this, you can go grab that document. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So We're going to break this down into four sections, if you want to call them steps, we can do that too. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to start jotting down keywords. So what that means is when you start thinking about answering all those questions, you're going to start brainstorming something called keywords.
Okay.
So start brainstorming ideas. Could be a phrase, could be key phrases, but you're going to start brainstorming all these ideas. And so write those down. Don't judge them right now. Just start writing. You should end up having probably 15 to 20 of those. And those should be answers to those four questions. So just fill that column up, if you will. Now, the matrix that the handout wasn't made for you creating 15 things. It's for you narrowing it down. So grab a spreadsheet or grab a Word doc or whatever the heck you want. Just start writing these things down and do them in bullet form so you can go quickly. A mind map is a great idea. So mindmeister.com is a good option for you too. So just start throwing those things down. That's the step one. The next step is that you're going to start filtering out the things that don't pass the validity test. So the validity test is this. Is it clear and simple? Is it relevant? Is it memorable? Is it differentiating? Is it easy to communicate? Is it flexible and portable? I'll explain that in a sec. Is it believable? Is it persuasive? And is it descriptive or intriguing? So let me try it. So clear and simple. If people don't understand what you're talking about, then it may not be the right kind of phrases or words to describe who you are, right? Second one is irrelevant. If your audience doesn't care about what you're describing, then you're in trouble. So that's another validity test. Is it memorable? Is it easy to remember? So words that are easy to share and talk about versus words that are difficult to pronounce or words that maybe 80% of the population would have to go look up in a dictionary, those would be good words to use. Is it easy to communicate? So when you're telling a story in print and or video or talking to somebody, is it going to be easy to communicate? Flexible and portable means that if it's too much about you and you want to build your business, bring other advisors down the road, or you want to sell your business eventually, I would consider that's not portable. That's what portable means. Flexible means that you can have all kinds of interesting stories. So when I think about flexible, we just created a tagline. Actually, I shouldn't get into that because it's not trademarked yet.
Yeah, let's protect that.
So if you have a tagline, so for top advisor marketing, we've simplified marketing for top advisors. Because I say the word simplified and top advisors, there's things I can play off that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people create taglines that are so there's just nowhere else to go with them. Mm-hmm. So what you should be able to do is think of, you know, when you say the word simplified or top advisors, there's other things we can play off that. So simplified, we can say we've simplified podcasting, we've simplified branding. You see what I mean? There's flexibility to use words in there to describe other things we do. That's what I would call flexible. Mm-hmm. Believable, descriptive or intriguing is another one. So if you've got a business that is new, sort of kind of blue ocean and people don't understand it, sometimes it's better to be descriptive with how you introduce your brand, because then they'll say, "Oh, I get what these guys do. I never heard of that before." That's a decent place to be in something that's new. If you're doing something that everybody else has been doing, then you want to do intriguing. So intriguing is where you say, "Hey, I know what this person does, but it sounds like they do it a little different and better." Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what descriptive. So depending on where you need, so those are all the items in the validity test. Those are at the bottom of that brand discovery matrix. And those are important things to consider as you're going through and answering all these. So once you get all your keywords down, you're going to start going back through the validity test and you're going to pick your top 3 to 4.
I want to interject something here real quick. I used to, before I knew that somebody like you existed, there's a great book called Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Am I the Most Valued of Them All? By a guy named Leo Pusateri. And I read the book, and one of the things that was in the book, or it was either in the book or it was just an epiphany that I had, is I called it the 13-year-old test. And when you come up with your value proposition, or when you come up with these keywords and you start trying to create key phrases, if you can communicate them to a teenager who doesn't care about anything and they get it, you're on to something. And if you don't know a 13-year-old, you can find one. And the best way to approach a 13-year-old without being creepy is say, "I'd like to ask your advice about my business." And it's unbelievable how many of them will perk up and say, "Oh my God, this old person wants to have my advice about their business." So keep that in mind. Kirk's system is way better than mine. What's that?
Leo, I learned stuff from Leo. Leo's been doing this a lot longer.
Long time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've taken it in my own direction, but I've spoken to him before, been followed him for years. Mm-hmm. And very knowledgeable guy.
So. And the book is great, and it does walk you through stuff. But the nice thing about what you've created with the Brand Discovery Matrix is it's much more clear and succinct. The 13-year-old test, you're kind of putting yourself out there, right? But what we have here that is a free download is a magnificent opportunity for people to be self-reflective. So that was step number two. What's step number three?
So step one is draft all these things. Step one is to draft, write all these things down, and then to pull out your top ones based on that validity test. Step two is to look back at those statements that you made and look at the ones that maybe didn't make the final cut, or maybe they did, but they're not going to be your number one choice, and start thinking of what I call key phrases. And these key phrases, what they do is they support the tagline that you're going to come up with. So in the keywords column, your goal is to get a tagline for your company. That tagline may be attached to your logo. Maybe it finds its a home somewhere else in your marketing. But that's kind of the overarching, this is who we are and why we're different and what mm-hmm. we stand for. Okay. The key phrase is here's all kinds of little ideas that support that overarching statement. An overarching statement should typically be 3 to 5 words, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. If it's any longer than that, I would probably move it in the key phrase category. So the key phrases support the tagline at the top. And key phrases can be a little bit longer, certainly not a sentence, but a phrase. So the probably a key phrase could be anywhere from, let's say, 3 to 10 words, maybe a little less than 10, but something like that. Okay. So what you're trying to do is combine the best interesting words to form phrases that make clear and concise statements about how different you are and why you're different and what that means to people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second column. The third step is going to be what I call key concepts. So as you're going through the keywords and key phrases, there's going to be ideas that you come up with that you can turn into a concept. So I should probably be giving you guys an example here. So let me go to a recent client who's got this stuff all trademarked, so I won't get in trouble for introducing it. So I won't come up with the name, but I'll tell you the tagline is complete financial advice. And they've trademarked the concept, your complete financial house. So what we did is because this guy was an accountant and is a financial advisor, CFP, really, really a broad expertise and experience. And what he really felt he stands for is complete advice. And he can, because of his credentials and his expertise, he can go deep there. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is we want to kind of show off how complete, what complete means to him, so that we can differentiate ourselves or himself from other advisors. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we took your complete financial house, and we took a vector image or an artistic image of a house, and we divided it into 4 floors. And then the bottom floor, we talked about mindset things that he talks about with his people. So that's part of his process. And then the second stage of that, we talked about strategy, the second floor. And third stage, we talked about tactics. And the fourth floor, we talked about progress. So tracking, accountability, stuff like that. And what we did is we took each of the floors and we created different rooms and used words that describe it. So what we ended up doing is we took this concept of complete financial advice, turn it into your complete financial house. And then we created a diagram that visually supported how deep and rich his philosophy and his brand actually are. This is where your brand starts coming to life, because when you create concepts, and we do this with everybody who goes through our brand foundation program. And at the end, I'm going to talk about another opportunity. So our brand foundation program is where I get in and work, one-on-one with an advisor to uncover their brand, create brand proof of brand, consult on their website, and then set them up for success socially as well. And so that this is part of that process. And it's something I'm teaching you how to do here in this podcast, which is how to take some ideas and turn them into something concrete and then create a visual around it. So all of a sudden you bring it to life. That is what a lot of people can identify with, oozes credibility, and it really dials in, helps you get a foothold in their mind as far as your brand. Because now all of a sudden he owns complete financial house.
Sure.
And the diagram is so easy to understand with the concept we've put on each of those floors. It's so well thought out, yet it's so simple that it looks like he's going to do exactly what he says. Mm-hmm. So his brand believability here is huge. And right away, if you're looking at 2 advisors to help you, or you've got an advisor and you're not quite happy, this guy's going to be pretty darn appealing pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, the other nice thing about this, I'm sorry, Kirk actually has this up on the screen right now, and I'm looking at this graphic that you guys made. The other cool thing about having this stuff really nailed down is it also gives you a roadmap and a template that you can consistently take your clients through, not just from a planning process, but also from a client service process. And that's the cool thing about the Complete Financial House is I know where I am in the building of the house when I'm working with him, right? Yeah, so absolutely. That's yeah. freaking awesome.
Yeah, and how many financial advisors can do that with their clients? And how many actually, I mean, there's advisors who have plans. I mean, the CFP course you get, it's yeah. a six-step process, right? Mm-hmm. How many advisors actually say, okay, now we're moving from this step to that step?
That very rare.
But I think it's critical. And I can tell you that when we're working through branding, it's really clear what we're doing on any given time because I've identified it up front. I tell them exactly what the branding process is going to be, how it unfolds, and then we know exactly where we're going through. And people feel very comfortable when you do that.
Right.
I never get any resistance going through that program. So that part of our service, if you will. So those are the first three steps mm-hmm. to getting that done.
All right. So let's talk about step four.
So there's other key concepts too, just to be clear.
Okay.
You're going to come up with something else and you're going to say, you know what? Let me give you an example or go back to the same example I was just working on. So when we started talking about Complete Financial House, we realized, you know, there's four pillars. And so what we did is we created a paper called Four Pillars of Your Complete Financial House. So what we did is we took a concept and diagrammed it, which is more process oriented. What's your process and what's this going to look like for me? And what are we going to focus on? This one is more, what are your strategies, your theories on what a complete financial house really needs to be? Like, are we, you know, make sure we don't have, you know, are the four floors you've identified really the only floors you need? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So this paper starts to identify. So when you write a paper, it should be a number of something. So 10 myths, 6 myths, 4 pillars, 10 ideas, you know, 6 strategies, and you can use different words there. But that's your paper should be, what is the most compelling thing that will show my audience that not only do I have a process, but I understand theoretically and on a street level how my philosophies are going to impact their world and why these philosophies matter and are, you know, better for them. So that paper is huge. So it's not just writing the key concepts, it's writing content that you could. So you should end up coming out of this section with several titles for potential papers that support your brand.
Gotcha.
And the thing is once you write down 3 or 4, it's typical that one is going to stand out and say, oh my gosh, that's what I'm going to go with. So this section isn't just about concepts, about process. It's also about if you're going to write a white paper, what would that be? And you could also add, if I'm going to start my own podcast, what would be the name of my podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the content of your podcast is going to be the massive list of content concepts you write here. You're going to talk about those throughout the months and years that you do podcasting. So the next section, which is step four, is called actions. So once you figure out this is what we stand for, our big stance, here's all the supporting ideas that we have. Here's some graphics and some papers on some of the things we can go deeper on. Now you want to say, how do I introduce those things to people? So how am I going to introduce the paper? How am I going to introduce the diagram? How am I going to introduce my blog? How am I going to introduce my podcast? Think about ways that you're going to engage people in your expertise. You have these days, if you can't produce expertise or showcase your expertise, you're in big trouble. The days of come into my office and I'll show you how right. smart I am.
Yeah.
Forget it. Unless you've got, you know, pictures of somebody's family doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, or you're just got such an incredible family name in a community or something like that, everybody just trusts that you're going to be the person.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen for most people. You got to prove your expertise before they ever come in. You got to prove that you get them. You got to prove that you've got a niche expertise, all those things. And this is what we're trying to help you develop a baseline for, which is this is what we stand for and this is how we're going to make a difference. This is how much we understand about what you're going through and what we can accomplish together. And here's how I need to introduce you to those things. So if you've got a paper, you've got to create a call to action for that paper.
And that's so important, right? I'm sorry. I just, all of this is all well and good. But if you don't have the step four, it's all for naught. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I'll take it a little step further, but it's not really in context of what we're doing. But the truth is we're talking about one of the important steps in our blueprint. So our blueprint is attract, intrigue, engage, influence. We're talking mostly right now about intrigue. What is your message? We're starting to move into engage. So what's the kind of content you can create and what are the calls to action you can do to start engaging people in your brand? So this is where the action starts to hit. The next step is going to be how do we attract people to these call to actions? Mm-hmm. And then once we've attracted them and engaged them, how do we, you know, eventually influence them to want to say, hey, you know, I'm going to put my hand up and say, I want to work with you or I want to know more. And we, you know, we've been doing this for a lot of years. I mean, the first thing I ever did when I started my company, when I left in my advisor practice and becoming a financial advisor, is I wrote a paper. The first thing I did, I said, how am I going to get noticed? It was the first thing that came to mind. I'm young. I've got a marketing degree. I've got a couple years of financial marketing, but most people probably don't care. So what am I going to do? I'm going to share my ideas. And I put that paper out. And I got to tell you, 10 years after I wrote that paper and put it out, I had people coming to me and saying, I saw that 10 years ago, and I've been kind of watching you develop, and I finally decided I need to work with you. Funny thing, but you know, that was the first thing I ever did in my business, and I've been going 17 years, so I feel like I'm doing some good, you know, done some good things there. You need to do the same thing for yourself. It's not going to take you 10 years, but in 10 years, somebody will come across you and say, hey, I've been following you for that long. I'm finally ready. Anyway, so call to actions are absolutely critical for you to figure out. And they really help your social media. They really help what you're going to email people, things like that. Because if you don't have call to actions, you don't really know what to talk about in social media. I mean, not that you just want to fire off call to actions all day long social, because that's not going to work. But you're going to, you know, between the personal interest stories, what's going on in your community, things like that, you can throw in a, hey, we've got a paper. I think this may answer some questions you're having in your life. And for the people who your brand resonates with, they're going to be attracted to that.
So what are our calls to action? So we've already talked to them about going to topadvisormarketing.com and going to advisor you. We've got a couple other things that they could do. Kirk talked about working with him one-to-one with having him take you through the branding process, which there's a little bit of a kind of exclusionary process with there. Kirk doesn't work with everybody on that. So we've wanted to try to increase our reach. And your partner and I have been working very diligently on a new program. Would you like to talk to them about that real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll talk about it because I feel like you and Ray have taken what I've been working on all these years and what we've been working on to a degree. I mean, Ray and I for so many years, mm-hmm. and really brought it to life in a format that I'm extremely proud of and excited to launch, which is how do we help an advisor who can't afford to do this one-on-one get really far, move really far along doing this themselves. So you guys, what we did is that you and Ray created something called the Brand Mastery Program. And it's a 37-week-long course. The advisors meet with you and Ray every 2 weeks virtually. And then there's assignments in between those weeks. And then you guys review the material and then get back. So there's some collaboration. There's mostly guidance. And it's in a peer group. Mm-hmm. So, and the peer groups will be set up to be like-minded advisors or like-modeled. So like-minded and like-modeled. So solopreneurs is one of the tracks that we have, and the other one is going to be multi-advisor offices, small multi-advisor offices. And the idea here is that put 5 to 10 advisors together and let them grow together in a group, guide them through this process and so much more. I mean, the outcomes will be, you know, having a really dialed in brand, having these process diagram that I talked about with Complete Financial House, having a paper. You guys are actually going to guide them through how to write their own paper, give them a template and see that through, help them start their own, try and start their own podcast, build their own website. So help you understand what content, you know, the truth is most people are completely overwhelmed with what it takes to build a website. And it is can be a very overwhelming thing. But we've actually chunked it down into really how to build a really effective website and how to put the right pieces in the right places. And I'm super excited about the reality of helping an advisor create a website that actually works for their business. And that's pretty exciting. That's all part of this. Yeah, actually, that's an outcome, one of the outcomes, which is crazy amazing. And then how to start implementing the stuff, understanding what they can do in social, what they shouldn't be spending their time doing. I mean, I know there's more than that, but those things alone, it's off the charts. And have somebody go through that and not, you know, we can't pretend we can do that for you in 3 months or you can do that for yourself. But if you're going to start, if you're looking at a business 5-10 years down the road that you want to be incredible, and you can't afford, you know, to hire us one-on-one, this is an incredible alternative. and we haven't really taken away a ton of value from it. So they'll have really good outcomes, because a lot of times these do-it-yourself things just don't work out as well. I've watched some of the programs where advisors come to us. We've built this so you can have a tremendous amount of success. What you get, the outcome you'll get, is going to be really good.
Well, so there's homework, right? So the listeners who are interested in this have to realize that there's work they have to do. There's accountability, and it's all set up in a very, very easily digestible fashion. And so we've taken all of these pieces, all of this thought leadership that Kirk and Ray have created over the last 12 plus 17 plus years, and distilled it into something that's actionable and step by step. So Ray is a brilliant systems person, and I'm the person who helps with accountability. So him and I working together using Kirk's thought leadership has really turned this into something amazing. But I think you missed something, that they walk away with a website built, correct?
Yeah.
So not only do we help them create the content, but with this program, on the tail end of it, they're going to have a brand new website that is built for them. That's what we got, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, we're not doing the building, but we have a partner who's going to do it, and it's all included in the price. But we're going to help them make sure that they actually have a website that's simple, focused, and actually has call to actions that actually make sense for their consume for their practice and for their ideal audience.
And we'll make sure that we have some examples of the website company that we're working with. In fact, they're all over the place right now because they've done some great stuff with our team here. So do we have a price point for this, Kirk?
Yeah, it's $5,495. Okay. And to be quite honest, it's pretty tough getting a website that good just for that price. And you're getting brand, you're going to help them create their own paper. In some cases where there's design included, we're not doing any design or development. We hand that off. The development of the website's included, but if you need, but we are going to give them some ideas on how they, can have their stuff designer ready, so they can hand it off and say, "Here's what I need. Can you get that done for me?" We're going to give you tips and tricks that we use, so we send it off to a designer. They're probably not going to fail and have to go back 20. Back and forth 20 times and waste a lot of time.
Yeah, because revisions are what ends up costing you the most money. Okay, so we're going to sum up today's podcast with the episode 38, Four Questions to Discover Your Advisor Story. We talked about the four questions specifically. We talked about these next four steps. And then not only are we asking you to do a call to action, but our call to action is you have three tracks. Number one, sign up for something free, sign up for Advisor U. Go to the Brand Discovery Matrix and click on the branding button. And if you're in a study group, if you're with other advisors, walk those questions through with other advisors. Ask each other those questions and challenge each other with what's in Advisor U, because you're going to find very quickly that there's all sorts of free stuff. And if you're resourceful and if you actually want to do some work, you can get that work done. Number two is our Brand Mastery course. So this whole program is built off of a step-by-step. You got to show up. You got to do the work. But when you do, not only will you have a great website on the end, but you're going to have a great brand. You're going to have great logos. You're going to have great talking points. You're going to have a white paper. We're even going to teach you how to syndicate and write and brand your own podcast. We're covering everything that we possibly can, including social media etiquette, which is a white paper that we're working on right now, too. And then last but not least, if you are a larger firm and would really like to get Kirk's attention one-on-one, then you can go ahead and go to topadvisormarketing.com and reach out to us directly, and Kirk will set up his discovery call. And incrementally, they're going to get more expensive. And, Kirk can talk to you guys about prices, or I can too if you're interested. But the long and the short of it is, if you do not have a good story, you're not going to rise above the noise of the marketplace. If you don't have a good brand, and if you don't set this great brand foundation, then whatever you build on top of that is going to be shaky. You have to make it so that everybody in your office is saying the same thing, that everybody in your office understands the mission and the focus and what you really do for your clients. And once that happens, even if you're a small office, a rising tide lifts all boats, and you're going to be able to build this amazing company, not just a practice, but you have the chance to build a company that is something that you can sell someday, because if you got a great brand, there are people who are absolutely going to be willing to pay money for it. Final words, Kirk?
No, you summed it up.
Okay.
So three options there. I think there is one thing I want to say. Inside of Advisor U, when you click that branding button, there's other materials in there. It's not just the matrix. For instance, I talked about four questions today. We have a document with way more brand exploration questions. Mm-hmm. So you could dive deeper into those. There's something called your 30 ideas for a better brand. So if you're having a hard time figuring out what types of or what areas in your business you could differentiate yourself, I give you 30 ideas right there. So there's all kinds of fabulous stuff in there to help you move forward.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you all very much for listening to episode number 30. Episode number 39 is going to continue along this thread. So make sure you stay tuned. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast yet, please make sure that you click that subscribe button, no matter what you're listening to us on, whether it's an Android device, whether it's through Google, through Stitcher, SoundCloud, or whatever. All you have to do is click subscribe, and then they will be immediately downloaded to your device. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you again soon on the other side of the mic.